Mark chapter 8, verse 27 to chapter 9, verse 1. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Jesus predicts his death. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." The way of the cross. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power."
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once upon a time I could see clearly. When I was a child, my eyes worked very well. Until the age of 15 years old, when I discovered, quite surprisingly to me, that one eye had become short-sighted. This meant I needed glasses, which I still wear today. Except that, fast forward quite a few years, my glasses are now varifocals. My eyes are now not only short-sighted, but are also a little bit long-sighted. And these glasses help me to see whatever I need to look at. Now, I know I'm privileged to be able to afford varifocals, and that they don't work for everyone. And some people prefer to have two different sets of glasses. But I find that these work for me most of the time. But like most things, it's not entirely straightforward. When I want to see far away things, like when I'm driving or when I'm looking up at the stars, to get these to work, I need to look through the top part of the lens. And if I'm looking at a book, if I'm trying to read a book or a menu or something like that, I need to look at that through the bottom part of the lens. And if I'm looking at a medium range, which would be you, I need to look at you through the middle part of the lens. And sometimes that happens without me thinking about it, but there are other times when I think I can't see it clearly, it seems to be out of focus, and then I have to practice and move my head to find the right lens to look at it through. Today's theme is about seeing and about adjusting our focus so that we can see better. There are two stories in the Gospel of Mark about Jesus healing men who were blind. Jesus gave them the ability to see. And that's something that most of us take for granted. And the first of these two stories comes just before the reading we heard today. And I couldn't preach today's sermon without referring to that story as well. I know it's immediately before the story we heard today, so you will have heard a sermon preached on it last week, if you were here last week. And if you did, you will recall the story of Jesus spitting on the blind man's eyes, which sounds a bit disgusting, But he spat in the man's eyes, placed his hands on him, and enabled him to see. However, Mark's gospel tells us that that miracle was not straightforward. The man could see after Jesus had spat on his eyes and placed his hands on him, but he couldn't see clearly. He was a wee bit, his sight was a wee bit out of focus, just like if I'm going about without my glasses, I can sort of see you, but not clearly. So the blind man that Jesus healed, the first story of that, the man thought that he could see people, they looked like trees walking about. And then Jesus tried again, I don't know if he laid his hands on him again, but tried again, and this time the man could see properly, clearly. And the reason I mention all of that story is because the story we heard today is about seeing and understanding who Jesus is. Because when we say that we see something, we can either mean we see it physically with our eyes, or we can mean that we see it, we understand it, we know what it means. And that double meaning was in use in Jesus' day as it is with us today. In our gospel reading then, the one we heard today, when Jesus asks all of his disciples who they think, or who people think he is, and then he asks them, and what about you? Who do you think I am? Peter responds saying, you are the Messiah. When he says that, he is correct. He sees it. He gets it. He understands to some extent who Jesus is, that he is the Messiah, which means he was the one God had promised from long ago, the one that God would send to save his people. Jesus is the one they've been waiting for many, many, many generations. But while Peter was correct in his naming Jesus as the Messiah, he is seeing, but he's not seeing completely. His vision is there, but it is out of focus. He is the man who sees, or who saw people, but they look like trees walking about. He is the blind man who can see a bit. Peter doesn't yet understand what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. So that when Jesus goes on to predict what will happen to him, that he will be rejected by the religious leaders, that he will be killed and will rise from the dead, all Peter can do is rebuke him. We don't know what words Peter used, but I imagine he said, no, Jesus, no, don't talk like that. Don't say such things. See how the people love you. No, Jesus, you have a mission to complete. No, Jesus, I won't allow you to die. And Jesus discerns within Peter's words, which are said in the best of intentions, Jesus discerns the temptation that must have wrestled within himself. Neither does he want to die. As a human being, Jesus resists death. But we can read later on in the Gospel of Mark that in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night of his arrest, Jesus would pray to God, asking for this cup to be taken from him, for God to find another way. But eventually Jesus would come to an acceptance of what must be, that his death was a necessary part of his coming to earth. Jesus came to live our life, he must also die our death. And more than that, he must enter into the worst that humanity can throw at him, as found in the cruelty, depravity, and humiliation of the cross. In the story we heard today, Jesus chastises Peter for his no, Jesus. And Jesus tells Peter he is too focused on the things of this earth and not focused enough on the things of heaven. But that is not the end of the story for Peter. For once Jesus had died and risen again, Peter would see completely. He would be just like the man, the other story of the blind man, Bartimaeus, whom Jesus healed, was given his sight. That story is found in chapter 10 of Mark's Gospel, and in it Jesus doesn't even touch blind Bartimaeus, but sends him away seeing, and says to him, your faith has made you well. through faith in Jesus, our sight becomes clear, our understanding improves. We can understand and we can see better through faith. In chapter 8, though, which is our chapter for today, Mark asks his readers, who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus asks the disciples that, and we are asked it at the same time. Who do you say that Jesus is? And then Mark asks, do you see clearly? Do you understand, having read this far? Do you get it, really? If you do get it, if you do see it, then that's great. Although I would say that there is always more to understand about Jesus. None of us is fully enlightened in this life. And if you don't get it, if you don't understand, if it's all strange to you, then I would say that is okay as well. Because it means you're not unlike Peter, who became the great apostle on whom Christ built his church. Peter, at this stage in chapter 8, had already spent all that time with Jesus. He knew him quite well by that stage. He had witnessed Jesus feeding 5,000 men and all the others with just a very small amount of food. He'd witnessed him healing people, so many people. And he'd heard Jesus speaking about God and telling the truth about God. Yet Peter didn't understand what Jesus was all about. He didn't see clearly until much, much later. I heard a quote last week from the 19th century writer Oscar Wilde, who wrote The Importance of Being Earnest and The Portrait of Dorian Gray. Oscar Wilde wrote, To look at a thing is very different from seeing a thing. One does not see anything until one sees its beauty. I think Oscar Wilde was talking about art when he said that, and the appreciation of art. I think he was saying that when we look at a thing, which would be a painting or a sculpture, to appreciate it, we need to really look at it. We need to try to understand the work of the person who created it. And we could say the same thing about human beings. To really see them, we need not just to look at them, but to look closely at them and to try to understand them and to appreciate the work of the Creator, with a capital C, in them. As human beings, we miss so much. We look at things all the time, and most of them we don't notice. I quite often walk past big signs that say, do not enter, and I never saw it. In our reading today, I feel that we are prone to miss one of the things that Jesus says in the middle of all of that. When he spoke about his being rejected and his being killed, his disciples stopped there. They couldn't contemplate that Jesus would be killed, and so they missed the next few words. Or if they heard them, they discarded them because they made no sense at all. Because after Jesus said that, he said that he would rise again to life. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. These just a few words which can get lost when we're not looking. But in them we find the whole gospel in a nutshell, the good news that although Jesus was killed, he overcame death, burst out of the tomb, and lived once more. The story of Easter, which is still many weeks away, is right here in the middle of Mark's gospel. Only halfway through that gospel, Mark is telling his readers what will happen, and it is good news. Jesus died and has risen again. Death was not the end for him. The grave could not contain him. So neither do they hold any power over us. Therefore, we are not afraid. For Christ, the Messiah, has done what he came to do. He has won the battle over sin and death and hell. In just a little while, we will celebrate the sacrament of baptism. We will place some water on Imogen's head and will make the sign of the cross to signify that Jesus died and rose again for her. Whenever we witness a baptism, we are reminded of our own and of how in baptism we have all died in Christ and we have all been raised to life in Christ. The step that follows baptism is the same as the one Jesus spoke of once he had rebuked Peter. He called on all of them to deny themselves, to pick up their cross and follow him, which they did and which we are called to do. Peter and the other disciples didn't need to fully understand. They didn't need to have a very clear vision of who Jesus was. They didn't need to fully grasp the true extent of what was to happen as they journeyed with him from one place to another. All they needed to do was to follow him, to put their trust in him. And as they spent time with him, as they looked at him, as they fully saw him for who he was and is, as they appreciated his beauty as the psalmist did in the psalm that we heard at the beginning of the service, as they gazed upon the Lord, they would grow ever closer to him. And that is the promise for us too. We don't need to fully understand who Jesus is to follow him. We just need to keep looking to him. Not just looking, but really seeing. And he will show you the way. The journey starts with baptism, and the way is a lifelong adventure, with Christ at the beginning and the end. He is the beginning and the end, our starting point and our goal, and he is our companion on the way. To his name be all the praise and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to sing All My Days, Beautiful Saviour, and as we sing, the children will come back in and the baptismal party will come and take a seat at the front.